Blog Talk Radio.
Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came from the truck to ride the ponies.
Hey everybody, this is TPU Radio and I am Jason Easley. I hope y'all had a wonderful 4th of July because, well, mine was pretty good too. On today's show, we're going to have a bit of an open forum, open line. We're going to talk about Live Earth. We're going to talk about Scooter Libby, the second quarter campaign fundraising, and Obama raising a boatload of cash. Ron Paul, and we have a little something-something special for George lined up on the program. Speaking of George, let me bring him in right now.
Hello.
Hiya, George.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
How are you today?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Oh, yeah, because the Yankees won 12-0.
Yes, yeah, that helped.
That's why
that,
you're
that helped.
Well.
After yesterday's game, that definitely helped.
You know they're still screwed, right?
Not as much. The Red Sox just got swept.
Well, yeah, but they got swept by a really good baseball team in the Tigers.
Yes, but you know, like we ended the first half on a high note. So
what it shows is the Central's the best division in the AL.
The Central is a damn good division.
By far, I think the two best teams in the league are probably Cleveland and Detroit right now, no matter what the records say.
It's going to be interesting. But it's looking like, and everybody said this, and only last year it finally came through. The wild card is going to come out of the Central.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, everyone's been saying it for like 5 years, but. The Central is just kind of, they actually have three really good teams in that division.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's no division in the rest of the league with that many good teams. I mean, there's teams with winning records, but I don't know if they're good teams.
Right.
Let's bring in Will right now, because Will runs here, then he was gone, then he came back. Hi, Will.
Hi. Yeah, they said there was a
what
problem.
What happened? I saw your number there, and then all of a sudden it was replaced by George.
Well, it said that there was the person I was contacting was no longer on the line, so I don't know what the heck is happening.
I was here.
I know.
Was here. It was just George. It was George.
That was me, Will. I just wanted to get some more airtime.
Yeah, George can't get enough time to talk on this program. We're always cutting him off. Okay, guys, let's get down to brass tacks. Did either of you happen to watch any of Live Earth yesterday?
Nope.
No.
It was a nice day. I can understand that. Yeah. I caught a bit of it. I caught the replay last night. Do you think the concert itself was a good idea? Because Albert Gore's been catching some flack for trying to promote saving the environment through a very un-eco-friendly concert. So was it a good idea? Either or.
Either or, yeah.
One of you. I
think it's something that had definite good intentions, if the execution may not, you know, like, again, I didn't see it, so I'm not exactly sure, like, how well the execution came out, but at the same time, to open yourself up to attacks from opponents, you know, like, when you're trying to make an eco-friendly, you know, like, when you're trying to, you know, like, create something for the environment, and then, like everybody's saying, it's winding up being less than eco-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, comes off a little bit as counterproductive.
Okay, Will, do you think the concert was a good idea?
Yeah, it was. I agree with George that it was a good intention to have it to make everybody aware, just like, you know, with Live Aid and all that stuff and Freedom Fest. But, you know, I was reading some of the articles, and, you know, 7 out of the 10, I think it was Dan Bailey of Fox News Entertainment wrote that 7 out of 10 of the cars that were there in Giant Stadium were trucks or SUVs, and I don't know. I think that some people have, you know, are kind of, you know, have an agenda against Al Gore, you know.
Yeah, here's my question. If you want to run a global concert, how can you possibly run a global concert and be eco-friendly? I don't think it's possible to run something on this scale.
That's a lot of electricity.
Well, if they spun it so that they were saying they were doing this to raise, you know, like money for environmental awareness, that would be a better way to do it. Like the same thing with live.
Yeah, that's exactly what the concert actually was. I mean, they weren't soliciting donations. It was strictly for awareness. And the commercials and programming that ran throughout all 24 hours stressed to people that if they changed one light bulb, they could save this amount of electricity if everybody did this. If they just cut down on the trash by 10%. It was all targeted at the individual, and if you do one environmental-friendly thing, it'll help on global warming. So I think the message was really good. I just don't know if the criticism deserved, because unless he's going to hold a global candlelight vigil, anything he does is going to be un-eco-friendly in that kind of situation.
Right.
I don't know. He can hold an acoustic concert, but you still have to get all the musicians there. And that's going to, to use up a ton, it's going to create a ton of carbon emissions. I don't think, do you really think this is going to change anybody's mind, though? Do you think that his whole agenda of getting people to be more environmentally conscious is going to work?
I don't want to sound like a skeptic, but I think that people are going to continue to drive their SUVs. I think that people are going to continue their lives the way they've been living them.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I thought you had more. Okay, go ahead, George.
I got to side with Will on that one and just say, it really isn't going to change much. You know, because as soon as he announced that he was doing it, that's when the attackers showed up and everything and started taking pot shots at him. It's just another case of just kind of par for the course.
To borrow a phrase from Al Gore, or a word from Al Gore, environmentalism is inconvenient. And that's the one reason why more Americans won't do it. I mean, they like being able to hop in their SUVs. They don't like, because the big thing they kept emphasizing all through the show was if everybody would just unplug their cell phone chargers and other chargers and whatnot when they're not using them, it would cut down a lot on the electricity usage. And people aren't going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The need to recharge the phone is right there. that's just the way Americans. That's just the way Americans think. I mean, they don't think, well, maybe I should recycle that.
No, they're thinking if somebody else is going to do it.
Right.
Yeah. Their thinking is, well, if the guy next door recycles, then I don't have to.
Right.
Now, where Will and I live, we have to recycle.
Yeah,
it's mandatory,
exactly.
And they make us. So I would probably do it anyway, but it's just a matter of people, if they're given the option, usually won't make the extra effort.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's really facing up against. I don't think the concert was a bad idea. I think the concert was really well executed, though. I mean, they did a really good job with 7 continents, 9 concerts, and they had an audience of 2 billion people. And I think that's what really scares a lot of the anti-global warming movement, is that he was able to put such a large event together with such a big audience. And how do you counter that? If you're the coal industry, what do you hold? The Dirty Earth? You hold a big concert with the biggest star in the country music called Dirty Earth, and do you tell people that coal is good? I mean, how you don't really, you, there's not an effective.
Well, they kind of already had it with Woodstock 99, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but George, I saw you.
That was freaking
crazy. I saw you there setting things on fire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
As soon as break stuff started playing, I was going nuts.
George was in the mosh pit, man. We all know you're a big Limp Bizkit fan.
Well, that's how I roll, so, yeah.
Now, let's move on to Scooter Libby, because I know this is sure to raise some blood pressure. Okay, Scooter got we're going to let Will go first. Scooter had his sentence commuted, as we all know, by President W., and that means Scooter doesn't have to do a day in jail. The commutation happened a couple hours after Scooter lost his federal appeal, where he basically was going to have to report to jail fairly quickly. The White House stepped in, commuted his sentence. They left the fine and the conviction stand for now, but they basically let Libby avoid jail. Will, what do you think of this?
Well, we have 2 Border Patrol agents in jail right now who are defending the borders from a known drug smuggler who have not gotten pardoned yet. and it just I don't think it's right. I don't think that I think he you know if he did what he did, then he should serve his time.
Okay,
I mean, but there's a whole
go ahead,
there, but there's a whole you know but this goes into a deeper sense. Was he a scapegoat for someone else's wrongdoing?
And what do you think?
Well, it sounds like it.
Whose wrongdoing was he covering, pray tell?
Well, there's no sufficient evidence to say who.
If you were to make a wild, unsubstantiated guess, who would you think he was covering for? A couple of names.
Probably Dick Cheney. We don't know, though, you know, and some other people. You know.
Don't worry, Will. They're not going to come and take you to Gitmo. You can say this. So, Dick Cheney, and do you think Karl Rove had a hand in this?
Probably, yeah. Karl Rove,
okay.
Too.
Okay, George.
Yeah.
What do you think of the whole Libby commutation?
I am friggin' furious, not only at the fact that it happened, but I'm also absolutely disgusted at the fact that nobody... Except for the usual suspects, as in us, are calling them on it. I am absolutely disgusted by this. I mean, like this could be a huge matter that would cause like a hell of a lot of outrage in this country. But and all they have to do is consistently do basically like what the Daily Show likes to do, which is show a video clip of something that Bush was saying several months ago, and then show a recent clip having him saying that the punishment was too harsh.
Right.
You know, all the crap that we let him get away with.
Well, it's almost as if they think we're stupid or something,
They
know?
They do, and there's no reason why they don't, because we keep letting him get away with this crap.
And that's why his popularity ratings, or his approval ratings keep going down.
Right.
let me throw something at you guys. The American Research Group, ARG, did a poll mid-late week, and what they came out with, this poll was released, I believe, on Friday. What they came out with was 45% of Americans, Republican, Democrat, and Independent, favor impeachment for President Bush. Now, the interesting thing is that with that, they favor impeachment. Then they asked about Dick Cheney. 54% of Americans favor impeachment for Dick Cheney.
no surprise.
He actually shot someone. So.
Yeah. Well, the problem here is that people do let them get away with this, and I don't know whether this was a blatant, obvious flexing of their political power, or if this was just a giant "F you." We're going to do it anyway. You can't stop us.
Or a cover-up.
I don't know. Yeah, I see. If they wanted to really, if he wanted to go in under the cover of darkness and do this. He could have waited until his last day in office and pardoned Scooter.
Yeah.
But by then, Scooter might have been out of jail already.
Right.
So I think this is just so blatantly, obviously horrible that there's almost not much you can say about it because it's so egregious. I mean, what I wrote in the Friday column at 411 was that the Clintons started criticizing Bush about the ethical dilemmas of commuting Libby, and then the Bush people fired back that Clinton pardoned 140 people on his last day in office, including, Mark Rich, the wanted financier that was on the run. So Clinton was no better. But the reality is they're both the same. You know, as far as unethical behavior, the distinction is Bush commuted a person who lied to a prosecutor investigating his own administration. And the person who lied was the chief of staff of his vice president.
Yeah.
There's really no
getting around it. It is.
That's not the same as selling pardons to the highest bidder like Bill Clinton did.
Right.
Right.
And this just reeks of a cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
It reeks of something very wrong.
Yeah.
And a total misuse of presidential power.
Exactly.
Now, Now, did you guys really think that? Did you guys think the sentence on Libby was too harsh?
No,
I think it was appropriate.
30 months in prison, $250,000 fine. That's about right.
Yeah. I think they needed to. You would say like, I mean, you can basically say like send a message and everything, but at the same time, I don't believe that. You know, like I don't think that, you know, like that that Libby was, you know, like made it to a scapegoat. He was a participant in the whole thing. You know,
yeah.
He was somebody who had lied to Congress, lied under oath.
Right.
And there's just no getting around that. I mean, like, that's the reason why Clinton was impeached.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask you guys a stupid, really, really dumbly obvious question.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
you almost made me forget my question.
Sorry.
Does it even matter? If Bush is so unpopular, does this even matter? Or is this just another brick in the wall, to quote Pink Floyd?
Well, I think it's
just another stigma against his administration.
Well, I think if I were President Bush, I think it would matter because he's fighting for his legacy right now. I mean, it's bad. So
you want to run down that legacy real quick? Will, give me one thing that President Bush will be remembered for.
Well, the war in Iraq.
Okay, George.
One thing
in general he's going to be remembered for.
Throwing a strike before Game 3 of the 2001 World Series. That's
yeah,
it.
I don't think he'll be remembered for that.
That is... that's on HBO. That is it.
That's on HBO.
The fact that he could do it. I give him credit for that.
Much be memorable. No, actually, George, okay, you're writing the history of his administration. Will already pointed out the Iraq War. What's another thing he's going to be remembered for?
One thing,
event, anything.
I'll say that he will be remembered for getting that amount of goodwill right after September 11th. He basically had the American public, you know, like,
right.
You know, like in the palm of his hand.
He did.
And we were willing to follow that dumb son of a bitch right to the gates of hell.
Exactly.
And he just kind of let that dwindle away. And to the point where it became less of, you know, the public just basically got less and less patient with him. And then as soon as people realized the position that he got stuck in, that's when the outrage started.
You know, the one thing I think he's going to be remembered for right along with the Iraq War is mishandling Katrina.
That's going to be
right there.
He's doing a heck of a job.
Yeah, heck of a job, Brownie, is going to go down in the history books.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, when you look at his legacy point by point, though, it's all bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, except for that little period after 9/11 that you mentioned, George,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's all bad.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not anything good. I mean, the economic numbers are bad, even though they'll run around telling you this week that they created 132,000 new jobs.
Was that in China? Was that 138,000? Was that 138,000 new jobs in China?
132,000 new service sector jobs is probably more like it. But,
okay.
On that front, real quick, you got to remember it's construction season.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Job creation numbers are going to shoot up anyway. And secondly, he's created 8.2 million jobs in his administration.
In China.
He doesn't tell you that his administration has lost 10.3 million jobs. He's still at a net minus of over 2 million jobs as far as job creation is concerned. Now, as far as Libby goes, do you think this strikes Democrats harder than it does Republicans, or is this something that cuts across lines that people are just generally outraged about or just find distasteful? George?
I think the Democrats really need to kind of take this and run with it because they, but at the same time, though, you know, like they're basically kind of in the position where they're treating Bush and his administration, everything like a punching bag, and it really doesn't make much of a difference because everybody in the Republican Party is trying to get past all of this. And so that way, you know, like they're basically just kind of beating up on somebody who's not even going to be there in a couple of, in, you know, like after, at the end of next year. And that's just a shame.
Okay, Will.
Well, he took the words right out of my mouth.
Oh, my. I'm going to have
to. Oh, no, you're going to reach across the phone and wring my neck.
I'm going to walk down the street and wring your neck. Now, the show ends at 7:30. Lock your front door. Now, as we move on from Scooter, let's talk about the fundraising numbers that came out. Obama raised $32.5 million, which I think I might have mentioned on the show here last week.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary raised $26 million. Edwards, $9 million out of the Democrats. Then Rudy with $17 million, Romney with $14 million. Out of that also is a $6.5 million loan to his campaign, so really it's like $8.5 million. McCain, $11 million. McCain was forced to lay off staff and cut costs due to poor fundraising. Do the fundraising numbers matter?
Will you take?
Yeah, it does, because it when you don't have the money and or the people to get your message out to, then or to pay for
advertising
signs, so then
signs, Oh, you're running a moderate campaign. don't need TV or radio. Just put up some lawn signs
or billboard.
Billboard. Oh, that's pretty extravagant, Will. You sure you want to go for the billboard? It might cut into the bumper sticker and button money you have there.
Exactly. No, but you don't have time to, you know, you don't really have money to pay for ads.
Yeah. Okay, George, do these numbers matter, or does the media make entirely too much out of these fundraising numbers?
They shouldn't matter now, considering that it's still a while before we, you know, like actually kind of whittle this down to the real candidates, even though in the media's eyes they probably already have. At the same time, though, you know, like it is going to matter in the long run. You know, like it's good that all these guys have been able to get out and just go to the start.
And here's something that jumps out at me as far as Clinton and Obama are concerned. Obama almost doubled Rudy Giuliani, the Republican frontrunner's fundraising. Now, as we know, as Democrats, this rarely happens. What's going on here? Where's all the Republican money? Are they holding back, waiting for Fred Thompson, or what's the deal?
They're definitely taking a spot. I think they learned their lesson from 8 years ago about who to put their money behind.
So they're waiting.
Yeah, they want you know, like a surefire. They basically want to bet on a sure thing, and there's no sure thing at all. The closest thing that we're gonna get, you know, like, is Fred Thompson, and that's just a damn shame. You know, like, it's somebody that I've seen on Necessary Roughness is gonna, you know, be the leader of our next.
Represent the Republican Party.
Exactly.
Real quick. We're gonna spend a minute or two. Yeah, you know, the numbers matter to the degree of what this money can buy. But if I'm Barack Obama, I better start spending some of this cash because I'm trailing everywhere. And with all these primaries coming up on February 5th,
mm-hmm.
he better not wait till January to crack open his wallet.
Yeah,
he better start spending.
Now.
He better start spending in the early states. He should start spending now. He should probably start spending in the February states right around November, December. He shouldn't wait till January because Clinton's got a big lead in a lot of these places. Democrats, I think this is a sign of Democratic enthusiasm.
Yeah.
The Democrats are just more fired up about this election next year than the Republicans.
Yeah.
That's a lot of it. That's why Democrats are willing to give and give and give and raise just a buttload of cash. Now, last topic, because this is actually, I was thinking about this today. I decided we haven't really done a Ron Paul show. We haven't talked about Ron Paul since the last debate. So next week, we're going to do a Ron Paul show.
Nice.
I'm going to scrounge around and try to find a few people to call in and talk to us about why they support Ron Paul. And, you know, we'll try to actually look at his candidacy. Now, Ron Paul has raised $2.4 million, he announced this morning on George Snuffle up against the show. Now, he does exist. He actually has more money in his bank account than John McCain right now.
Wow.
McCain has $2 million in the bank. Ron Paul, he has $2.4 million. Is Ron Paul for real?
I think so.
Okay, you think he's going to be able to hang around and keep raising money?
I think he's going to be able to hang around.
Okay, George?
I see Ron Paul as like the snakes on a plane candidate. You know, like he's somebody who's captured the attention of the Internet. And whether or not that's going to translate into Borat dollars, we don't know. But at the same time...
Look at that. Look at you tying all the box office together.
Why not?
Aren't we just Mr. Movie Phone?
Mm-hmm. No, I do think that, that you know, the internet is definitely making Ron Paul into its darling candidate, which I think is great, because he's somebody who actually makes sense, which is nice to see.
Especially in the Republican Party.
Which is very nice to see, actually. I mean, like, they had somebody who was talking sense, you know, like, several years ago, but, you know, that's not the same person now. But they, it definitely, you know, like, it definitely shows potential. You know, the fact that he's been able to get this much money.
Okay, guys, I have a special feature I want to make sure I left enough time for. This is just for George.
Uh-oh.
Every week, I'm going to peruse the internet and find the latest news about Joe Biden.
All right.
I like to call it the Joe Biden Minute.
Nice.
Tick, tick, tick.
All right, here comes the music, I hope. There we go.
Oh, you gotta love that.
Did you short America?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Joe Biden Minute. We are the one and only place on the World Wide Web where you can actually find out what Joe Biden has done this week. This week, Joe Biden asked why Libby received special treatment. To quote Joe Biden, he said, last year the Bush administration filed a friend of the court brief with the Supreme Court in an attempt to uphold a lower court's ruling that a 33-month prison sentence for Victor Rita, who was convicted of perjury and obstruction of justice, was, quote, reasonable. The question we all should be asking ourselves today is President Bush flip-flopping? Why does Scooter Libby get special treatment? Also, Joe Biden told outraged Americans, George Bush's disregard for the rule of law is unbecoming a president. I'm calling on every American to flood the White House this week with phone calls and tell the president, in 2000, when you ran for president, you promised to, quote, uphold the honor and dignity of the office of the President of the United States. We're still waiting. Call the White House, 202-456-1414. That, ladies and gentlemen, has been your Joe Biden Minute.
Woohoo!
What do you got? There. Nice. That was something, wasn't it?
Now, you know, like, and that's the funny thing about him, he's actually saying something that makes sense. And the problem is that nobody is listening to him because he's one of these guys who, like I said last week, has declared that he's running for president, and the media is responsible to ask you.
Now, we all know that in George's ears, anything I say quoting Joe Biden is all popsicles and puppies. So I would expect nothing less from George than to say that that was great. But actually, that was great. I mean, I used part of that in the Friday column as my quote of the week. And the rest of it, I'm waiting for Joe just to go off on a diatribe. Like, we're going to find MP3 audio for Joe Biden every week. He does a weekly podcast. As soon as I can find something really juicy for you guys, we will hear from the man himself. Because let's face it, Joe's not going to come on this show.
No. Although I would
we're
going
to do our best. You know, I mean, I might be able to hire a Joe Biden impersonator for $5 on the corner, but, you know, he's not. The man himself isn't going to come on this show. By the way, Mike Gravel was also on George Snuffleupagus' show today, too, as a long-shot candidate.
A.K.A. Stephanopoulos.
Yeah, we really don't like George Snuffleupagus that much. You'll learn that. I never watch his show. You know, the main reason why I don't like George Snuffleupagus more than anything else in the world, and it has nothing to do with George himself, ABC does not put a transcript of this week up on its website. They make you buy the transcript of the show.
Lame.
What kind of cheap Mickey Mouse bastards make you buy a transcript of the show? And they don't even stream the full show online. Then they wonder why nobody's watching.
And
George Snuffleupagus has to work in this environment. So pity Snuffy. Pity him indeed. We're in the last minute of the program. George, what do you got to pimp for us this week?
I have this week, there will be week two of my 4-week-long Scene Anatomy 101 series about the first 4 Harry Potter films. The next one will be Scene from
or
Harry Potter.
Or the Dateline to Catch a Predator series,
exactly.
As we like to call it around here.
we'll have that, you know, like, recurring for the next 2 weeks as well. And plus Thursday's UBS Evening News Report.
Oh, excellent. Will, anything new to promote?
Yes. I found this on the John Edwards blog that while people were bashing John for paying $400 for a haircut, Hillary Clinton pays $3,000 for a haircut.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Wow, that is good stuff, Will.
Well, at least we know
I like
the money.
That's your taxpayer dollars at work. Okay, guys, that's about the end of the show. For George,
yes.
For Will,
yes.
This is Jason saying goodbye, and we will see you soon.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.